morning on a subject and just get some, and I really want to help us today. And we're going to talk about trusting God. Everybody say trusting God. We've been in this series through the book of James. We've got about four weeks left. And James has constantly been challenging us to check our character, to have godly behavior, that he says, well, hey, watch your mouth, right? I love that sermon, right? That was great. To look for godly examples to model our life after. Last week he said, hey, we should be committed to living out our faith and not being hypocritical. And so James has really been in our face almost every week, reminding us that faith in Jesus makes us live different. Okay, I'm going to need a little more help than that. All right, I said when we believe in Jesus, we act different, right? When you believe that ice cream is going to make you happy, you're going to go to the refrigerator, right? James is like, listen, guys, I want you to know, if you really believe in Jesus, it's going to make you live different. So today, James is going to encourage us to trust God. And when I say trust God, we often just put that phrase out there, right? But do we really trust Him with everything? Because I don't know if it's a challenge for you, it's a challenge for me. But there's this fine line between trusting God totally and trust, like, what should I trust God totally for? And what do I trust myself for? Come on, somebody. Now, I know the Christian answer. I know what we're supposed to do. I'm just talking about, right, my real life. Right? Like something like, okay, right? So I trust God to save my soul, but do I trust God to be my provider? I trust God to bless me with, like, He's blessed me with a wonderful wife and three incredible daughters, but do I trust Him to help me in my marriage and to teach me how to lead my family? Right? I trust that I'm supposed to pray, but how many of you sometimes have trouble believing that God heard your prayer? I trust God to save me, deliver me from all my ungodly habits, to give me purpose, but do I really trust that God loves me, even though I constantly make mistakes over and over and over and over? Right? Right? Because how many know, right, isn't it sometimes like we function in Christianity like we function in the world? And in saying that, like God says, I love you unconditionally. But how many know, in the world, people don't love you unconditionally. They love you as long as they like you. As long as you do what they want. As long as they're right. And so sometimes it makes it hard to believe, hey, God, I blew it. So if people dump me, then God, so do you. You ever had that thought? Right? Anybody feel like that sometime? I mean, we throw out the phrase, trust God, so casually, but have you ever really thought about all the different ways that we can trust Him? And so I want to give you some big picture truths this morning. The Bible says that we can trust God to love us, to provide for our needs, to save us from our sin, to bless us, convict us of a sin, teach us all truth, reveal Jesus to us through His Word. We can trust God to forgive us of our sins. He loves us unconditionally. He promotes us. He directs us, all in His timing, right? We can trust God that He hears us when we pray, that He knows everything prior to us even praying. And we can trust that He knows everything about us, including how many hairs on the top of our heads, even though they're quickly declining in my particular situation. That was a good place for laughing. It's okay to laugh, sneeze, burp, whatever you want to in this morning. It is way too quiet. Right? Right? Jesus required, right? Like if this was LSU game, you would not be doing this. Okay? I'm just saying. But the truth is, this morning, we wrestle with trust in so many areas. And have you ever struggled sometimes with trusting God and so you decide to try to help God out? Anybody besides me? Like you're really not sure He's paying attention and you're not convinced that God is on top of the situation, so we try to help Him out by taking over? Anybody? I think there's two areas that I believe sometimes that we distrust God in, and I just want to talk about it today because they both affect us all, and I want us to leave here this morning knowing that you can trust God with everything, right? But do you ever trust God that, or trust that God sees everything that you're seeing in people? Come on, somebody. Like, sometimes I'm not sure that God notices the inconsistency in people's character. Are there immaturity spiritually that I see? Don't look at me all holy. Right? Sometimes I think that God is not paying attention, and so we feel like we need to help Him out, so we do what He says not to do, because we don't know and we don't trust that He knows what's going on. Right? If you don't know, I'm talking about our struggle sometimes with judging other people. Right? Any other judgers in the house? I've read your Facebook. Everybody's got an opinion. Right? I'm not saying we're all condemned to hell to die because we're just, I'm simply saying we all at times judge. Do we not? Can we just, as the Christian people, just be real? And just be honest and say, you know what? I don't sit around all the time judging people. But how many know when we hear something and we see something, we're often guilty of judging other people, right? We sometimes assume certain things about people and we place judgment on them, right? Right? Have you ever rented a car? Anybody ever rented a car? Isn't it funny? Like, you rent a car. Like, I've had this happen to me as a pastor. We had a Hyundai Sonata. We actually had it when we came here, and then we ended up getting rid of it and still running around the state of Texas somewhere. And I'm like, I thought it was going to die. But anyway, but here's the deal. We got hit when we were in Indiana, and so we got this Dodge Charger, right? And I had friends who's like, oh, well, ministry must be really good for you, because you're riding around in a new Dodge Charger. I'm like, dude, my car's in the shop. It's a 1920s Hyundai Sonata, y'all. Come on, right? But we judge, right? It must be nice, right? It even happened to me in ministry. When I was growing up, everybody told, never go into ministry. They're always, all they ever want is money, right? All pastors want is money. It's always money, 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 money. Then when I became a pastor, they're like, don't become a pastor. You're always going to be broke. Like, wait a second. Am I going to, right? Because why? Because we just have a tendency, right, sometimes to judge people, right? And sometimes the reason we judge is because we don't trust that God sees what's going on. And maybe that's not how you thought about being a judgmental person. Maybe you don't consider yourself to be judgmental, but let's just deal with it for a moment today. And I've got a couple other things I want to share with you. But here's the deal. Number one, and this is my first thought this morning, and that is this. You can trust that the Lord sees and knows what's going on. Right? James chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, it says this. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against another brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. And then verse number 12. There is only one lawgiver and judge. How many would say, it's me? Don't raise your hand. Who's the one lawgiver? Who's the one judge? Jesus, right? And He is able to stand and to destroy. But you who are you to judge your neighbor? So right after James says, hey guys, watch your behavior, watch your mouth, follow godly leaders, stay on a godly path, James tells us, listen, not to speak against others or put ourselves in a place of being judgmental of others. But isn't it true? Our like comeback statement often is, don't judge me. Isn't that the ultimate shutdown phrase we use against another person? Right? Somebody comes and says, hey, Tylen, yo, I see this, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, don't judge me. Right? Anybody ever had that do? Or you never just talk to anybody? Right? Right? Like, it's the shutdown statement. But James says to the Christians, hey, not to be judgmental, but it's also, listen, Excuse me. What is the one thing that Christians are most known for? Why does some church people don't come to churches? Because we are known for being judgmental. Right? So let's talk about it for a moment. Let me ask you a question. Is it judgmental to call a friend out or a brother or sister in Christ for doing ungodly things? Is that a sin? No. Right? Is it judgmental to hold someone accountable? No. Is it judgmental to have an opinion that something is wrong? No. Right? So what does it mean to say that we judge people? What it means biblically to judge people is two things. Number one, we assume we know their motives. Come on, somebody. And we assign a consequence for their action. How many know that's good? Right? That's what it means to judge somebody. So as Christians, James says, don't assume that you know somebody's heart. Don't assume you know their motives. Right? And don't give them a consequence to that person because of what they did. Because it's really just not our place, right? And when we judge, here's what we're doing, really, two things. First of all, we're putting ourselves in a position that we don't belong because James just said there's only one judge and we're not it, right? But we're also, when we judge people, we also are demonstrating that we're not trusting God, that He sees what's going on. Right? Have you ever thought it that way? Like I'm really saying, God, I really don't trust that you see what's going on. Here's the thing. We can trust God to know exactly what's going on in the lives of people, and we can trust that He cares about them and He loves them, and we can just leave it in His hands. Right? I love the story at the end of the Gospel of John, and Jesus is hanging out with some of His disciples after the resurrection, and He's just restored Peter from his denial. He's called him to take care of God's people and be a good pastor and this whole thing. And then Peter does what almost all of us have at one point or another have done. He just gets directions from Jesus on what he's supposed to do, and then he looks at Jesus and he says, "What about John?" Right? What are you going to do with John? Will he have to do the same things that I'm having to do? Or does John get to do the cool things? Jesus has this, right? And don't we do that sometimes? We're always wondering, well, how come I have to sweep and they don't have to sweep? How come they get to do this and I don't get to do this? Right? And Jesus gives this incredible response, right? He says, what does it matter what I do with John? Right? You worry about, and this is PJ paraphrase, you worry about what I've called you to do, and I'll worry about what I'm going to do with John. How many know we'd be a whole lot happier if we just stay in our lane? Right? Well, right? Isn't it true? Right? Honestly, I think it's such a great reminder for us. Like, listen, just take care of your own stuff and trust God to worry about all of those things that we're sometimes compelled to make judgments about. Right? You worry about you and let God worry about them. And if you're concerned with somebody, about somebody, pray for them. Don't judge them. Don't gossip about them. Don't be critical about them. Right? But God says, listen, the Word of God says there's one lawgiver, one judge, and we're not to judge anyone. We're not to assume motive or assign punishment to anyone. And again, we say that, but how many know, like, it don't take long to look at people's Facebook posts and to say we all struggle with these moments. Right? And so we all just need to be reminded that we can trust that God cares about people more than we do and He sees what's going on. And let me just say this morning. Listen, being judgmental is not a spiritual gift. I promise you there's no place in the New Testament that says it is a spiritual gift. Right? We're to pray for people, hold each other accountable, but we are not God, so we are not the judge. He is, and so we are free of that responsibility. Did you see what that person, right? Can I just be honest with you? I have to guard my heart. Like, I can't worry about what another church over town's doing or another place over someplace else is doing. Like, God didn't call me there. He called me here. Right? He called you where He's called you. right? And listen, don't worry about what's over here and what's over, right? Because listen, I'm just telling you, you'll lose your contentment. You'll lose your joy, right? Because listen, you're never going to be happy trying to be happy on somebody else's telco. Right? Right. Like some pastors sometimes come to me and they're like, "Well, what do you like listen, you can't walk in somebody else's anointing. You got to pray and you got to seek God, right?" So the second area I think that sometimes we wrestle with trusting God is, besides just trusting God that He knows and He sees and we don't have to be judgmental. How many are grateful you don't have to have that job? Isn't that true? There's too many things right now. Everybody posts this and like, right? You can get overwhelmed. Everybody's got an opinion about every single post. Aren't you glad you don't have to worry about that? Like, you do you, Bo. Come on, somebody. You do whatever you like, right? And I'm going to make you accountable, right? And we got to have conversations. But I'm not your judge. And I don't have to deal with all that pressure, right? Here's the second thing. Is how we got to believe and we got to trust that God can use our past, good or bad. He is with us in our present and we can trust Him with our future. Right? James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, it says this: "Come now, you who say tomorrow or today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that.'" How many know James is like totally different thing, right? And listen, I'm just going to venture out to say every one of us is guilty of this, right? Like anybody trust or planning things right now, right? We're in the planning season, like planning vacation, planning to get back from vacation, like all the things, right? How many of you have said, we used to do this actually, if the Lord wills, we have dropped that and we're just like, I'm going to do this and I'm going here, right? And I'm, right? I want you to think about this. We trust God to save us, but do we trust Him with our future? Do we trust Him with our future? Do we believe that God cares about who we will marry or if we will marry or where we'll work or when we will retire or how much money we'll have or what we don't have? I think sometimes we're just all guilty of making plans and then asking God to bless our plans. Come on, somebody. What if we really started to take God at His word and trust that He hung the stars into place, He knows the beginning from the end, and He's able to take care of us right on time at the right time? Right? If our God is that big, can I just tell you, we can trust Him, I promise, right? But instead, what we do is sometimes we make our plans, prepare our dreams to be fulfilled, and we expect God to make them happen because that makes us happy. But what if we actually truly trusted God with our future? Michelle and I have a lot of things up in the air at the moment. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean just currently, like, right? Like Lauren's going into her senior year. Mackenzie's fixing to graduate college. Addison just got married. My parents are not doing well. You know, and like there's all of this stuff, right? You ever feel that way? And to be honest, sometimes I like to give God like a suggestion list. Michelle, don't say amen. Right? Come on, anybody? Right? Like, Lord, here, I know you're busy. There are people in China trying to get saved right now. Praise God for that. People in Turkey, Iran, like people are trying to get saved. So since you're busy, I've got my little legal pad here. And if you'll just do this, this, and this, I'll just take a little bit off your plate. Anybody ever been guilty of that besides PJ? If you would just do this, man, we would be good. But I'm learning more and more, and I'm not going to tell you I've learned because you're going to be looking and like, well, you're not trusting God. Like, I get it. I'm learning more and more to be submitted to whatever He has for us. Right? Isn't that what Jesus did? Isn't that how Jesus lived? How the Apostle Paul lived and moved around? They were all directed by the Father. They were all directed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it this way numerous times. He says, my nourishment comes from doing the will of my Father. Remember the Apostle Paul. He was consistently being led by the power of the Holy Spirit on whether to go to work, what ministry to do, where he was supposed to travel. Even sometimes like, God's like, you need to stay right where you are. Right? And here's the thing, if we belong to Jesus, James says, listen, our behavior is not ours anymore, our mouth is not ours anymore, it all belongs to God, our relationships should be in line with God's will, our whole lives belong to Jesus. So if that's the truth, listen, and we're just a mist, right? Some of you are like, I thought I was special. Okay, you're a special mist. Okay, right. You're a special mist. But if you're just a mist in the broad scheme of eternity, why would we not just give it all to the Lord and let Him direct us? Right? But isn't it easy to talk about and preach about, but isn't it like really, truly, right? We don't say, if it's the Lord's will, I'm going to go to lunch. We're like, God, that's a good thing. Lunch is good. And I'm sure you're going to provide, so I'm going to lunch. On trips, if it's the Lord's will, I'm going to do this. I remember my pastor growing up, Brother Jimmy Roy Curl. Every time he said anything, he's like, if it's the Lord's will. But isn't it true? We just get caught up in culture and we just like, I'm doing this. Lord, now I need you to bless it. Right? So often we put our soul in God's hand, but we keep the future in our hands. Come on, somebody. Right? Why not just let Him have it all? Right? Maybe that's why we feel stuck sometimes in our life. Or we're unhappy in the situation that we're in. Have you ever thought about this? Maybe you put yourself in a place without allowing God to direct you. And then you want Him to bless it. Right? Instead of saying, God, help me to do what you're blessing. God, lead me and then you will bless me. Right? But I think sometimes we get stuck because we're like, I'm going to do this. And then when it doesn't work out, then we get mad at God. But you didn't even ask God what He wanted to do. Right? Because I just assume, right? Certain things are just like, of course, right? Anybody like me? Like, that sounds like a great idea. Let's do it. It's like, we should probably pray first. Come on, somebody. Right? We should, like, whatever it is, we should probably pray first. Ask the Lord, what is your will in this situation? And I'm just going to remind you this morning, listen, you can trust the Lord with your past, your present, and your future. And I'm just going to tell you, Michelle has to remind me of that a lot, right? I'll get stressed, particularly, again, in this season. There's a lot of stuff, and again, just not anything bad. I don't want you, like, poor Pastor Jeff. No. No, God's good, and we're faithful, and God's taking care of it. But just, can I just tell you, sometimes she just has, like, you can trust the Lord. I have to do the same thing, right? God's got it. All of it. Well, how? If I knew how, I would be God. If I knew how, I would do it myself and, again, help God out. So he didn't have to deal with me and he could go help Rob. Right? Call somebody. But I just can trust him, right? Because he's never failed you and he never will, right? And the worship team, you guys can come. Here's number three. And it's just simply this question. Do we trust the Lord? I know the spiritual answer. I know what we're going to say today. Oh, I trust God with everything. It's all his. But let somebody break in your house and take something that belongs to him and you're calling the police. Come on, somebody. Right? Like, I know the spiritual answer. I'm just saying, do we really trust God? James chapter 4, verses 16 and 17 says this. It says, as it is, you boast in arrogance, in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So James says this, he's like, listen guys, when you're it's boastful, when we're boastful and arrogant, it's evil. right? And like, thanks for judging us, James, right? Right? Thanks. But what is he telling us? He's saying in the passage, in the context of this whole passage, he's telling us, listen, if we presume to lead our own lives and we push God's will out of the way and replace it with what we want to do and what we think and our desires, our plans, we're assuming a place of arrogance and we're proving that we actually don't trust God. Right? And he's talking about our natural tendency, right, to just plan our own way and make our own decisions and then ask God to bless it. I'm just telling you, probably every one of us do, right? Like, right, we get off vacation. I was talking to somebody this morning before church, and we were just talking about, like, Christmas vacation. Nothing wrong with, right? But what I didn't do, and I'm preaching this morning, what I did not still do was say, if the Lord's will, I'll go on Christmas vacation because I may not be here. And honestly, that's just my idea. I thought it was a really good idea to call somebody, and I didn't ask Jesus. How many times do we do that? Right? Again, sometimes we pray, even sometimes flippant prayers, like, God, protect us as we travel. And then we never thank God for giving us a safe travel. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 9 says this, the heart of the man plans his way. Right? Isn't that true? The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes steps. So the question is, do we trust God? Do we trust that the Lord sees what other people do and that he can deal with it? Right? Sometimes we get so worked up because they didn't do this or that, right? Holidays come and somebody didn't bring the potato salad and they thought they were supposed to bring the potato salad. You can never depend on them. You got them in hell from not bringing the potato salad. Come on, somebody, right? Like, you worked yourself all up. It's like potato salad, man. Come on. Like, do we trust God that he has the whole world in his sovereign hand? Again, we watch news, right? I'm dealing with a situation right now. And the other day, I had to just pray. I'm like, Lord, because how many know, like, you watch enough stuff and fear comes? Isn't that true? Well, if you don't do this right now, if this blah, 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 right? And for a moment, you just stop remembering that God, like, listen, I don't care who's in office. I don't care what happens. If God's sovereign, and if he don't want it to happen, it ain't happening. Come on, somebody. But isn't it true? Sometimes we can work ourselves up, and man, if you don't do this right now, and if this doesn't happen, this bad thing's going to happen, and if I don't know what I'm going to do with it. Like, he's got it, right? I remember when Addison was a little baby. We lived at Teen Challenge in the property. I remember she probably is traumatized now because I would go to her crib and I would get up with her at night moments, not every night, but lots of nights. My favorite song to sing to her was not Baby Shark. Come on, somebody. It wasn't even out by then, okay? But my favorite song to sing, I would just sit and I would just hold her and I would say, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in it. And little bitty babies, like we, like all of it. And can I just tell you, sometimes God has to just, hey guys, I know you freaked out because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow and blah, blah, blah. I'm just telling you, listen. Matter of fact, can I just be honest with you, what I want today, because all of us have areas that, because this is two of a 2 billion ways that we could trust God. I'm just giving you two thoughts today. But sometimes we just need God to remind us, hey, you know what? I got it all. I know Fox News and the diagnosis and what's going to happen tomorrow and all that stuff, but I'm already in tomorrow. You may not know what you're going to do, but can I just tell you, you can decide what you're going to do. I don't know what's going to happen if this happens. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have to just trust God. Because you know what? If it's God's will, how many know it's going to happen no matter? Right? And we don't like to talk about it, but even death. right? Like, I don't know. Like, I, again, thinking with my parents and all this stuff, you know, it's like, the Bible says, again, this is not a refrigerator verse, but what does it say? It's an appointed to man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. Can I just tell you, there's going to come a day unless the Lord comes. So what I got to decide today is, when that time comes, who am I going to run to? Well, I just can't do it. Well, I know I can't, but I know who can. Come on, somebody. I know who I can trust. I'm going to talk about that tonight. But would you, do we trust that God can help us to live godly lives? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3 says this: His divine power has given us everything we need to live life and live a godly through our knowledge of Him, Jesus, right? Do you believe that God has given you the power to live a godly life? Titus chapter 2, verse number 11 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." Let me believe God wants to save all people, right? "Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." Church, God is our provider. He's our peace. He's our hope. He's our all in all. Like, He's enough, everybody, right? And He wants to save your family members. He wants to bless you, right? Like, our God, we can trust Him. And here's the deal. I want you to know, and you can go ahead and stand this morning. Like, I just want us to be free of trusting in ourselves, right? Because let me just be honest with you. Sometimes, I'm just going to be honest with you, right now, like, I feel like there's so, like, everything has just kind of come, right? And, like, it's all, right? Like, if I don't do it and if I don't fix it. And I've just had to be reminded. Come on, so anybody besides me, right? Y'all all living the dream, blessed and highly favored. Like, I am too. But I'm just being real because, listen, our gospel can handle our difficulty. Our gospel can sustain us, like, right? He's our Savior. Listen, I'm grateful if you're like, nothing's going on, right? And that whole deal. But can I just tell you, I don't need a Jesus that I don't need because, well, all my life, like, I've got it handled, Lord. I need God when I don't have it handled, right? When the pressure is just like overwhelming and I could just go and know that He is truly my refuge. And He's my strength. And the Bible says He's my very present help in the time of trouble.